The wheel of time turns, and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. In one age, called the Third Age by some, an age yet to come, an age long past, a married couple decided to start a podcast.
This is Shade of My Heart, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Josh, and this is my wife, Kat.
No.
Today, we're going to be talking about what we like about the Wheel of Time. We've both been reading the Wheel of Time series and listening to it on Audible for years now. I have honestly lost count of how many times I've listened to them. Kat is probably, what, how many do you think?
I've listened to them probably three times. I think I'm on my fourth listen through.
Yeah, so we wanted to talk a little bit about why we keep coming back to it before the show starts. We've seen the trailers. I hope the show is as good as it looks. but we haven't really seen the show to know if it'll be something that we come back to over and over again. But we know that the books are that kind of thing that we just want to keep coming back to. So, Kat, what are some things that you enjoy about The Wheel of Time that bring you back to it?
Yeah, I mean, overall, like, it's just a really good story. You know, you look at, like, what are the makings of a good story, and you've always got a hero, right, especially an unlikely hero, who has to go through some sort of catharsis, and usually he has, like, he or she has, you know, the old wise old man or somebody that helps him, and they usually have to make some sort of great sacrifice to save mankind. It's like the greatest story ever told, and this definitely has that on a really large scale of the unlikely hero, you know, risking it all. I really like that aspect of it.
Yeah, and they kind of take those tried and true story tropes, the hero's journey, and they tweak it at times to be a little unexpected, and they definitely flesh it out in some different ways. So, like, you don't have a wise old man, you have a beautiful, mysterious woman coming and kind of disrupting their life and telling them that they have to leave. And it's just so interesting to see how they develop those characters. And for me, that's a big thing that I come back to over and over again, is I like the characters. And I feel like they're like my friends, and it's nice to hang out with my friends over and over again.
Yeah, you really get to know them, and you can see, like, part of yourself in some of them, and you can see part of people that you know. Because one thing, if you do the Audible books, there's a interview with Robert Jordan, and he talks about how he wanted to look at it as, you know, somebody comes up to the hero and says, "Hey, you're gonna save the world, we're gonna go on this journey." And what if the hero was like, "Oh, no thanks, I'm not really interested in that." So you see a lot of yourself and people you know. It's not like this hero or group of heroes who are like superheroes, you know, like, yes, I am going to save the world. Let me just.
Yeah, they're people. They've got self-doubt. They've got fears. They've got selfish motives at times. But they're one thing that I appreciate is they have a strong sense of duty. And so, like, you know, they don't really want to do it, but they know that they have to. And I really appreciate that. I find that inspiring to think about duty, and it drives to do things that you don't really want to do, but you know they have to be done, and you're the one to do it. So I really appreciate that. I also really appreciate, like you said, some of the characters I identify with, but some of my favorite characters I don't really identify with. They're quite different than me and my priorities and how I operate. And I find it interesting. Those are the characters that I really enjoy.
Yeah, that's true. And you can learn from them and learn from that different perspective.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. I really enjoy also the depth of world building.
Oh,
The
man.
Wheel of Time is one
Holy,
of the
yeah.
most developed and fleshed out fantasy worlds I've ever read. And I've read my share of different fantasy worlds, and I would say it's second to none.
Yeah, well, and that's so true. Robert Jordan, so if you read the books, he loves to describe everything. And he will tell you every detail of the types of clothes that people wear in a certain city and the landscape. Like, he's super detail oriented. And I'm so excited to see the show because, like, you might read literally pages about the description of a landscape, and it's engaging, it's not boring, but it's going to be so cool to take that, what we usually read, and see it on the screen. And if you've been to the Amazon Prime website, they actually have this interactive map, and you can click on some of the cities that you're going to see in the Wheel of Time. And they film this all on locations across the world, so it's real places, and they're just beautiful. I really enjoyed looking at that on the website.
Well, and one of the things that I appreciate about the books that I really hope is brought out well in the TV series is that the different places have very unique cultures. They have their own way of talking, dressing, and I hope that they can bring that out because I think the one of the things that makes the Wheel of Time so good is it feels lived in. It feels like a real place, and it's got real issues going on. And sometimes the hearing about the internal politics can get a little bit much, but it's still it feels like a real lived-in place, and I really appreciate that. It doesn't feel like sterile, you know?
It's very real.
I also really appreciate the magic system in the Wheel of Time. It's almost like scientific the way that they describe the weaves. That's how they describe it. They call it channeling the One Power, and we'll talk about different weaves. And they have the five different powers, and they can combine them in different ways to do different things.
So the powers are air, water, fire, earth, and spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's really interesting how, like, you can be really skilled in one area and not in the other, which makes it an interesting magic system. It's not like abracadabra. It's not like you say certain words. It's just you're born with, or you learn whatever power you have, whether it's the, air and water. So you're really good at wind or different things like that. I like that aspect that you can be strong in one area and not in another.
At times
Makes it
that
interesting.
they kind of describe it like weaving like a rug or something. So you can be dexterous. So it's not just raw strength, it's also like dexterity and remembering how to do different weaves to, get a desired result. So I think all that's really, really interesting. And
It makes it more interesting than a lot of other magic systems.
It's a lot more developed. I don't really get a sense in, like, say, Harry Potter of, like, how exactly is all of this working? And what are their limits? Are there limits? Because sometimes the magic just seems like a convenient plot device to do something, and the reader, the viewer had no idea like that was even an option. And then sometimes they did something before, and you're like, well, why don't you just do that thing again? Because it seems like it would work, but they don't do it, and you're just like, I don't know, I guess reasons, I guess. But I think the Wheel of Time does a good job of showing you the limits of the power, and that they get tired. If they channel a lot, they're exhausted and they
Yeah,
can't.
they're not like completely infallible with like or inexhaustible, I guess.
And I think that that makes for a really interesting dynamic, is
It's
not
just
only
like if
what can the
you.
power do, but what can the power not do.
It's
And
just like
not
if.
everyone's the same strength too, which is also interesting. Some people are stronger in it than others. And, along with that, men and women channel differently than each other.
Right, I was going to talk about that too. I really think it's interesting how Robert Jordan did. He was very dichotomous about men channel
Sidene.
Sidene, women channel Sidar, and he kind of talks about it like a yin and a yang, with that they work together, or they did work together, but a woman can't touch Sidene, and a man can't touch Sidar. And they have the different powers, the different strengths, like we were talking about earlier with air and water and all that. Men were stronger in a couple of
They were
those.
stronger in fire and in earth.
Fire and earth.
And women were stronger in wind and water.
And then was spirit like
Spirit was like equal.
equal? So I really like that too, that really the it was in it's an interesting thing saying that yes, they're extremely different, and one does it this way and one does it that way, and there's no mixing. You can't teach a fish to fly, you can't teach a bird to swim, type of deal. But before, I think I can say it because it's in all of this stuff,
Yeah.
before the male side got corrupted, really the power worked best when the men and women worked together.
Yeah.
Which I think is really, really cool, that it's not a negative thing. It's not like, oh, men are better or women are better. It's best when they work together.
Yeah, and I hope that they can capture that in the television show, because I always found that really, really fascinating.
Definitely.
In the books.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you do have the problem of men who channel, have this corruption.
Yeah, so you touched on that. So what happens basically is that,
Is this going to give a spoiler?
no, I don't think so.
Okay.
Men who channel go insane eventually, and they start lashing out, well, like a crazy person would, almost like, imagine somebody is completely out of their mind,
But they have all this power.
but they have like powerful guns, and they're just as likely to shoot their own friends and family as they are the bad guys. And so the men who could channel all went nuts and broke the world. I don't think that's a spoiler because it's on the Amazon website
Oh, that's true. It has the
promotional
breaking of the
thing.
world
That,
thing.
that's yeah, it's called The Breaking of the World. So by the time the series starts, all the men who could channel are long gone. In fact, there's a whole Aja of an Aja is like a group of the Aes Sedai that have a common cause, and there's seven Ajas, and they all have their own purposes. And the Red Aja hunts men who can channel to make sure that they don't go insane and kill a bunch of people. And they do that by capturing him, and then they call it gentling him. At least that's what it's called in the books. I assume they're going to use that
Oh, yeah, we don't know
language in
what
the
they're going to
series.
say.
But they basically take away the ability to channel.
Yeah, so let's don't say anything more about that because I'm not
Okay.
sure. We don't know what they're going to do in the series. But yeah,
Yeah.
so, but the point being that men go crazy. So they, like, the biggest fear of every person is a man who could channel.
Right.
So the Red Aja tries to quell that.
Yeah, it's basically like what a mom says to her kids to scare them.
Yeah.
Like, it's that scary. It's like the boogeyman, a man who can channel. Ooh.
Right.
But then Aes Sedai are not generally, they're always respected, but they're not liked. It's you don't want a neighbor that's an Aes Sedai, because the general population doesn't really understand channeling. They don't understand what Aes Sedai do. They don't trust them. There's this saying that it's actually on the website, so I don't think this is a spoiler.
Yeah.
The truth an Aes Sedai says is not always the truth that you hear. So their Aes Sedai are generally understood to be tricky with their words. They
Yeah.
take an oath that they cannot speak a word that is not true.
Right, so you see that in the trailer too, where they say, they have Moraine holding Oathrod, and she has her oaths that she takes. And yeah, one of them is that she can't speak a word that's not true. So they can't lie,
But they can make truth
but
spin on its head.
yeah.
And there's also the loophole of they might speak a lie that they think is true. So just because an Aes Sedai says it doesn't mean that it is true, only that she thinks it's true.
Right, she has to believe that it's true.
Yeah, so that makes for some interesting dynamics there. So I love the magic system. I love how in depth it goes and how it has limits, and you get that that throughout the series more understanding. But kind of touching on the one power is the male female dynamics in the show. You know, we live in a world where men are typically stronger than women, but in the world of the Wheel of Time,
we're gonna get canceled for that.
You want to arm wrestle? In the world of the Wheel of Time, there are women who can channel the power, and there are no men that have been around for a long, long time that can channel the power safely. And so women have this, not all women have the ability, but some women are just like so much more powerful than any man as Aes Sedai that it makes for some interesting dynamics. And the way that the characters talk about each other, you know, the men talking about women and the women talking about men is funny and interesting, sometimes insightful, and sometimes makes me sort of wonder about what kind of a marriage Robert Jordan had with his wife, because the things that he's just like, oh yeah, women, I'm like, whoa,
poor Harriet.
Yikes. Now, she was his editor, interestingly enough. Harriet McDougal was his editor, so I wonder, you know, what did she think about
his perspective? But the thing is, like, so you say the thing about men are stronger, and physically, that's what we see on, you know, but the Wheel of Time, definitely, you see that women have very strong personalities. There's a lot of bravery and a lot of just women who are not going to back down. So I think that it is a really good balance.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really like that.
Even women who can't channel, you see a lot of that strong personality in women.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, and that's a potential criticism of the way that the books sometimes portray the women is like bullies. They're bullies. They even say that.
Yeah.
You know,
some of them definitely are.
So I'm kind of hoping that they pull that back a little bit in the show, because in my opinion, and I don't know if you find it this way, but I can find it to be too much.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, you need to just calm down there. You can be a little bit nicer. You don't have to just bully people to doing what you want them to do. Another thing I appreciate is the nuance in the portraying the good and evil in humanity. Hmm. So a big thing in the books is that some people have secretly pledged themselves to the Dark One.
Right.
As dark friends. And I would assume they're probably going to do something like that in the show.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't know who they are. And it's often not the people that you expect. Some are like, okay, yeah, this guy is a degenerate and he looks like a bad guy and he is a dark friend. But there are others that you wouldn't suspect at all. They seem like a good, normal person, but they're secretly a dark one.
Some that you get to know and love.
Some that you get to know and love, yeah.
Okay. No spoilers.
Yeah. But I find that interesting that, you know, you can't always tell from someone's, you know, outward presenting what their real motives are.
Yeah.
And even, you know, there's characters that they're not dark friends. They're just selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And they just act in their own best interest. And sometimes that really messes things up and gets in the way of what kind of should be happening. So I think it's good the way that Robert Jordan has written the world and the characters to be nuanced in those ways.
Yeah, and that there is, like you were saying, maybe not dark friends, but selfish. But there's also within each person, even if they aren't a dark friend, like they might make a bad choice.
Yeah.
And so there's not this clear cut, oh, this is a good character and this is a bad character.
Yeah. Now there are characters that like, yeah,
Sure.
that character is bad,
Sure,
but
but
there
you even,
are, yeah, there are nuances.
the
And
heroes make
there's
bad
some
choices.
redemptive, you know,
Yes.
there's some that start bad and go good, and there's some that start good and go bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, I appreciate
I like that it's not
that.
necessarily cut and dry.
Yeah. And they do have the Dark One, who's kind of like Satan, sort of.
He's the evil one of the world.
Yeah, but he's been locked away, but he's breaking free, and he promises reward to those who have served him well. And that kind of brings us to another thing that I wanted to talk about that I appreciate about it, which is that the story takes some unexpected turns, but that also Robert Jordan does a fantastic job of foreshadowing.
Oh my goodness.
A big thing in the show is prophecy fulfillment. And there's a character, I guess for the sake of spoilers, I won't say who it is, but she sees auras around people that tell their future. Sometimes she knows what it means, sometimes she doesn't. And early on in the first book, when you meet her, she sees things about the characters that it's not actually fulfilled till the end of the series.
Which is incredible because this book is like, I mean, this series is like 14 books long.
Yeah,
So
well,
he knew.
and Eye of the World, the first one, came out in like 1990.
Yeah, it was real, it's something like that. Maybe 92.
Yeah, maybe 92, like early 90s. And
And it was only finished like a couple years ago.
yeah, well, and he had passed. He had passed away before it was actually finished. So, you know, I'm just blown away at his foresight. And
Yeah.
he was able to plan out where the story was going right from the beginning, which I just think makes the series so much better.
Yeah. It's actually funny every time I listen through the series, I start to like I hear a foreshadowing and I want to go grab one of our, printed books, like the later ones and be like, "Oh, wait a minute. I think this happens in book 7," or
Yeah.
things like that where I'm like, oh my goodness, I remember here, or later on, same type of thing where I'm like, oh, I should grab Eye of the World and see if I can find where this was foreshadowed. Because
Yeah.
you, and a lot of that you don't catch until the second or third time through.
Yeah, and that definitely is a big thing that makes it very readable, is that you catch these different things and see how Robert Jordan was setting things up like a master. But it's never predictable. You know, I've read them so many times now, it's hard to remember what my first read through was like exactly. But I remember my first read through just being so eager to see what was going to happen next. And I didn't know. I didn't know where we were going. I didn't know what was going to happen next, but I was in for it. You know, I was interested in seeing where the story was going. And I just love that.
Yeah.
Sometimes stories can be so predictable, you're kind of like, okay, no, I get it. These two are going to fall in love, and then he's going to beat the bad guy. It's probably going to go like this, and yada yada. I've seen this story play out before, and that is not the Wheel of
That
Time.
is not the Wheel of Time. Like, even if you have not read the books, and if the show is like your first introduction, like, take your first thoughts of what you think might be happening, and you can just say it's probably none of those
Pretty much.
things.
But you're gonna like it.
You're gonna love
You're gonna
it.
like where it
It's
goes.
gonna be surprising and really cool.
Yeah. So those are some of the aspects, and we could probably think of a lot more things that we enjoy about the series, but those are some of the things that I enjoy about the series. I hope that it's a TV series that is as becomes as if it's as half beloved to me as the books have been. It'll be something that I watch over and over again.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I'm so happy, I'm so excited that Amazon has put up the money to do this right. And it seems like the showrunners really appreciate the Wheel of Time, and I'm really excited to see what the result is.
Yeah, me too.
So thanks for listening to Shade of My Heart. Let us know what other things you enjoy about the series, And
Let us
we'll.
know if you have any questions, anything that you want us
Oh,
to
yeah.
answer in our next episode.
Definitely.
May you always find water and shade.